Welcome to Real Estate and You. I'm your host, Scott Allison. I've got Claire with me helping me, and we've got a bunch of questions people have sent in and some good questions, some good real estate questions, and a lot of info on some new listings, some of the hottest listings in San Angelo. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to Real Estate and You. I'm your host, Scott Allison. Hi, Claire.
Hello, how are you?
I just heard your cookies commercial.
Yeah.
Oodles and Oodles. Okay, what is Oodles?
I have no idea where that came from.
It sounded pretty good, though.
But we do have oodles and oodles of cookies.
Good job. And we got oodles and oodles of good listings to talk about.
We have oodles and oodles of questions.
Okay, but I'm going to do this first in case we run out of time because I want to get this stuff in.
We are going to run out of time.
Okay. First off, you know, we only have one thing for rent right now, folks. Probably about 100 rentals on a property management deal. We have one. Harvard. And you actually put this on board a long time ago.
I did. I don't know why we still have it. It's a very, very cute, adorable home.
Three bedroom, two bath. And
they lowered it down.
It's down to $1,250 a month.
Mm-hmm. $1,250. It's got a nice yard, a little storage unit in the back, fenced. Got a one-car carport. It's covered, covered carport. A nice living area. The dining room and the kitchen are open and airy. It's a wonderful rental. If you could get in there and get it, I think you'd be totally lucky.
Well, and folks, we were just talking with Jeremy earlier. I mean, anything under $1,000 is almost impossible nowadays.
For
so
sure.
So $1,250 is for a nice house in a nice location.
For a three-bedroom, two-bath, yes. And it's in over there by...
Close to the college, actually.
Yes, close to the college, behind Verizon. Great area.
Yeah, so all your street, Harvard, Yale, Baylor,
Rice,
AM, all those streets.
Mm-hmm.
So good little rental. You can call office 949-5575 or call Elaine at... 763-3404. Your old number, you forgot it.
I totally forgot it.
Okay, we've got one right here. New price. Austin, well, this is good. This is down to $149.9. Is that one? That is $139.9. Wow.
Yes, $139.9.
That's a very good price. This is a cute little house, a little cottage looking thing. It's got a little neat little thing in the backyard, screened in like porch. It'd be a perfect place to play cards in the evening or something nice. Its own bathroom. Neat little place. That is lowered at $139.9. Wow, that's a very, very good price for that house. There's another one. Remember the new constructions we saw? The ones on Durham?
Yes.
This is the one I keep talking about. I think it was the coolest tile I've ever seen. It's the tile that looks like wood. This wasn't the dark, dark tile. It was a lighter tile, kind of a blonde tile.
Yes, yes.
But beautiful. Both these houses are very, very nice, and I'm surprised these aren't sold because they're very nice.
What's the price at? It's in Bentonwood, right?
No. This is in the Bluffs.
Oh, the Bluffs.
The upper part, yeah. 208.5 now. It was 221.5, and it's 208.5.
That is nice.
So Gretchen's done a good job getting those. And the other one, look at this one on Hemlock. Oh, my goodness. This is down to 214. Folks, you talk about some holiday treats. We got you some holiday treats here because there's some buys. Right here, a new one on the Todd just listed this one for $229.9 on Las Lomas. Look at that brick home. Nice looking house,
isn't
it?
That's a nice one.
That's the only thing bad about radio. We can't show. These are good looking properties, folks. But you know what you can do? You can always go to sallison.com and see a full picture of them. Or you can give us a call at 949-5575. We'll be happy to show them to you. It's always fun to show pretty houses. 2750 Red Bluff Ramp Road. And I bet you, Debbie the diver. She's got this one. Nice house on the lake for $269.9. I used to actually live on Red Bluff Ramp Road.
I believe so.
I built a little house there. It's a neat little part. It's a pretty part of the lake.
I think it would be easier to say, where haven't you lived?
That's true. But what I'm saying is the sun, it's very important at the lake. I think so. That the sun hits right. Or anywhere you live. You know, if you want to sit on your back porch, well, we're on Red Bluff Ramp, so in the evenings you can sit on your back porch and the sun will be behind you, so it won't be in your face. So good location there. Okay, here's one. A Paseta Vaca. I think Paseta Vaca, folks, in Santa Rita is probably one of the most prestigious streets in San Angelo.
Love that street.
You know what Paseta Vaca means?
Having a clue.
Path of the Cow.
Path of the Cow?
Cow Path.
Okay.
Kind of just a little trivia there.
Paseo de Vaca sounds a little bit more intriguing.
It does, doesn't it? Okay, Blackwood. It's kind of close to your old neighborhood.
Yes.
$349.9. Nice house.
Wall School District.
Yeah, Wall School. And Gretchen's on a roll here. Gretchen's doing a great job this year. She is doing a real good job getting lots of stuff. Here's the one on South Concho. This one's lower to $399.9. That is less than $100 a foot for that big old house.
That's on the lake?
On the lake. You know, you have a little lake on the side of it, and then you face the main body of the lake. So pretty, pretty house. Okay, we've got some good stuff in for you. Okay, shoot the questions. You have were these emails?
Yes.
Lots of questions, lots of good stuff.
Should we just jump on in?
Just jump on in.
Okay. We have questions. There's IABS. It's information about brokerage services. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Some people don't understand what that is. It's a form that you have to sign, that we have to give it to you regardless of what. Explain that to us.
Well, I think one reason that probably somebody asked this question is when you meet a realtor at a house or whatever, and right away they're going to say, here, well, I need to give you this form. Well, by law, and it's real important, what it is, it's information about the brokers. And what it simply says is, a long, long, long time ago when I got in this business, we didn't have buyer representation, which, to be quite honest, was wrong. You need buyer representation. This just simply says that you need to know who's working for who. Do you want the broker working for you, or is the broker working for the seller, or is it basically the broker working for nobody? And what this does is kind of explains that whole process, and somebody's going to hand it to you. They have to. That's the rules now. And they're going to hand it to you, and it just kind of tells you, be careful, you know, because we want to tell people your information to the people that are representing you.
So it's telling you whether your realtor is working for the buyer or the seller. Well, then that also goes into intermediary. So if the realtor is going to be working for both parties, you go into the intermediary. Explain that.
Okay. It's kind of a simple process. Scott Allison Real Estate. I'm the broker. I'm Scott Allison, so I'm the broker of the firm. Every listing that comes into the firm basically belongs to the broker. So if Claire, one of the agents in the firm, lists a house, and Gretchen is representing a buyer, they both go under my umbrella, so they both are working for Scott Allison Real Estate. That means that Scott Allison Real Estate is representing both the buyer and the seller, which means we have to treat both parties very fairly and very honest. It does limit a little bit what we can do, but not very much. We want to help the buyer and we want to help the seller. But I'm going to say this, Claire, in real life, if this buyer wants to buy the house and the seller wants to sell the house, it makes the job pretty easy.
And usually, if you put your house on the market, you're looking to sell it.
Yes, you hope.
Okay, moving on, the effective date. Okay, once you get the contract, the buyer signs it, the seller signs it. Okay, so then we get into who determines the effective date, which is very important because that affects the option period, that affects the closing date, that affects everything. So who determines the effective date?
You know what? These are some pretty in-depth questions. I think maybe some of our fellow realtors sent some of these in so they could trip me up.
Well, don't mess up.
I won't. Okay, this is very, very important. In fact, folks, what's kind of embarrassing, a lot of times it's not put in. And if you've looked at our new contracts, everything has a date, has a time frame. Your option period, you know, when it closes, everything has a time frame. The effective date is I write an offer and I give it to Claire. She's got the listing. And I offer $100,000 for her $200,000 listing. She laughs at me. They counter back at $199,900. We go back and we finally get it together. Well, as soon as we agree on everything, where is this closing, well, the closing date, the closing, the price, everything, after everything is totally agreed upon, when that last person initials or signs off on that final deal, that's when whichever realtor has the contract is going to sign and put, you know, today's date, 11/21/15 or whatever it is, and that will start. Basically, that's your trigger date. That's going to tell us when everything's starts on your contract. So it's very, very important that it's done correctly. Does that answer that question?
It does. It does. Okay. So like you say, the buyer signs it, the seller signs it, the realtor is supposed to put the date in. If the date is not filled in, does that mean there's no contract?
Absolutely not. That means we have a problem because you have an option period, you have other things, and you don't have the trigger date done right. So you have to work through it. So it's very important to do it correctly for lots of reasons.
Especially the option period.
Yes.
When calculating the time for performance, is the effective date included as the first day?
I'm going to say no, though.
It doesn't start until midnight of the next day, correct?
Correct.
And that's the day that options start.
I'll just say the following day. But yeah, the following day. So if I date it the 21st, that means it's going to start the 22nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, something like that.
Okay. So if you signed it on Friday, does your effective date start on Saturday or Monday?
Yes, Saturday.
Saturday. It's not business days.
And here's, folks, we got the holidays coming up. This is very, very important if you're buying a house right now. Remember, we have Thanksgiving right around the corner. Then we have Christmas, New Year's, the whole stuff. The time period from when the contract starts, they don't take Christmas in account. They don't take Christmas Eve in account. They don't take Thanksgiving in account. So knowing those dates are there, realistically, you're not going to get an inspector. You're not going to get some things done during the holidays. So take that in account. So a lot of times you'll see 10 days for an option period.
Over the holidays.
You better put 15 or 20. And when somebody goes, why'd you do this? I say, because I don't think for the day, 2 days before Christmas or 2 days after Christmas, we're going to get anything done.
Or even the days between Christmas and New Year's.
That whole week is really, really hard. For years and years and years, approximately 30-something, I used to beat my head against the wall thinking, nobody's working right. it is really, really hard to get something done. I'm just going to tell you right now. Because, you know, you call the attorney. Well, the attorney's out this week. Well, then you call the bank. Well, he's out next week. Well, you call the other realtor. Well, he's out this week. So it just plan on it. Just if you plan on it, then you're okay.
Okay. Moving on. Multiple offers. Excuse me. If you get multiple offers, what is the seller obligated to do? Do they have to accept both one or the other? Do they have to? What are they obligated to do?
Seller doesn't have to do anything.
They're not obligated for anything.
So here's the multiple offers. In fact, we've had more of those in the last 2 years than I've seen in the last 28 years.
And some of them above asking price.
A lot of them above asking price. But here's what I do. First off, you don't have your phone when you're doing the radio show, and that's always a bad thing. But when you get multiple offers, for the reason, why my offer was in first? Why won't mine presented first? Well, if you just let's use common sense for a second. If I tell you, Mr. Seller, I have two offers on your property, and I've got one right now, and I have one the guys are on his way over to bring it to me. Are you, even just curiosity, aren't you going to look at both offers?
Well, I'd like to, yes.
And what you're going to see more and more happening is you're going to see a counter that's going to say, okay, I have three offers on the table. Y'all have an opportunity to bring your highest and best offer, and we'll take which is the highest and best. Which, to me, that's the fairest way, just simply because if you want the house, you know it. I know sometimes the buyers are like, oh, just tricking me. No, this is what's happening right now, especially under $100,000. You get the houses in that price range are under $150,000 because there's a whole lot of people that want that price range. And we've seen that. And, of course, I'm going to go ahead and add something to this. And this has happened to us how many times? Over and over and over. Is we get multiple offers, and they're like Claire just pointed out, they're over full price. Then the appraisal comes in low. You know, we had Laura Lacey on here before, and we talked about why the appraisals are coming in low right now. But folks, just plan on it. It's part of the process.
So you're getting multiple offers. You have one in writing and one verbal. Which one can you offer? I mean, can you do a verbal?
You could present a verbal offer. That's not a question. But you know this, anything in real estate has to be in writing to be
before
it's binding.
Yes.
Yes. But a lot of times, in whether it's right or wrong, y'all just say what happens in real life, is I'll get an offer and it's quite a bit low. And I'll call Lance and I'll say, hey, Lance, I got an offer coming. And I'm going to just tell you up front, it's about $120,000 versus your $160,000 thing. Just let you know. The right way to do it, the best way to do it, is always put it in writing. And I'll tell you why. Because in writing, it says, are you asking for the seller to pay some closing costs for the buyer? When's the closing date? What repairs, all that kind of stuff. And it's real important you have the whole look. But yes, you can do a verbal over the phone, but the best way and the right way is to do everything in writing and just know that.
Perfect. Next, moving on, disclosures. There's a lot of questions about the seller's disclosure, any kind of disclosures, who's responsible for what. What if, as a licensee, you learn that there is a defect, but the seller doesn't want you to disclose it?
Then I wouldn't work for the seller. If you know of a problem, you need to disclose everything. My key on everything, disclose, disclose, disclose. That way you have no problems later. If you tell everything you know, there's an issue, you can deal with it up front. After it closes, it becomes a bad, bad issue. So to whatever you know that's up there, just say it and tell what it is. And as you know, Claire, we have the property disclosure forms now.
Mm-hmm.
And the realtor cannot fill that out. So if you sell a house to your brother, you have to have this between you two.
Exactly.
Doesn't have anything to do with realtors.
Mm-mm.
But the good thing I like about it is it gives the seller opportunity. And I reverse a little bit. I say, hey, you just put in a brand new hot water heater. You put a new roof on. Put all that on there too. It's intended for the bad stuff, though. If the seller knows that there's a problem, that he knows there's a bad crack in the slab, or he knows that the wiring's aluminum and there's something wrong, or he needs to disclose it.
Okay. Let's see. Must every seller deliver the seller's disclosure notice to a prospective buyer?
Well, yeah. Everyone. Well, let me rephrase. Prospective buyer. If I'm in an open house, I have 30 people come through. No, I'm not giving them a seller's disclosure. But if you call and tell me that you're writing an offer, you need that seller's disclosure while you're writing or before you write it. And a lot of realtors will have that downloaded in the MLS so they can just download that disclosure at that time.
Okay.
You know what we need to do? We need to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.